Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. A great reminder on this day that Christ truly is risen from the dead, and life is ours through faith in Him. The text I've chosen for the day, it doesn't seem to me to be a sermon text for a funeral, but if you know Judy, it fits her pretty well. It's from Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. And when they had brought their boat to land, they left everything and followed him. While it was in one of the cities, they came to a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Daryl and Lori, Todd and Christy, family, friends, and you, the saints here at Emmanuel. I want to tell you a story told by a now sainted pastor about a baptism he once performed. It was for a young couple. They had three children, and the oldest of them, I'm not sure, but the youngest was eight, and they had a little boy named Johnny. Johnny was a hellion. They're always Johnny, you know. But the fact of the matter is that Johnny was always into everything. And when Pastor came over to visit with the family a few weeks before the baby was due, he began to explain to the family the benefits and what baptism means and all that. And Johnny was right there at the table, and he listened intently to every word the pastor had to say. Well, after they were ready to wrap up the meeting, the family had decided they were going to have the baptism the week after the baby was born. No matter what day that baby was born on, that following Sunday would be the day. Well, everyone was excited. When the baby was finally born, a very healthy little girl, and the pastor went to see her in the hospital, and everything was prepared for the following Sunday. The little girl showed up wrapped in one of those baptismal gowns that was worn by her mother and her grandmother, and I don't know how far back it went, but the family was all there, and they're excited as anything. The father walks up to the pastor and says, "Would it be okay if we brought Johnny up to the font with us? He probably won't behave himself in the pew." Pastor looks at him and says, "Well, of course. That way he can see exactly what's going to happen." Pastor never confessing that he didn't think location was going to make any difference when it came to Johnny's behavior. It would be so nice, the family thought. Well, the dad held Johnny, the baptism took place, and Johnny was an angel. Never wiggled, never squirmed, never anything. The baptism had concluded, the words were spoken, and they walked out of the chancel, and then it happened. Right before they get to the pew, the father let go of Johnny's hands, and Johnny took off running towards the front of the church, right in front of the altar. The pastor was just going to sit down and hadn't even turned his back around. He draws a deep breath. The mom and dad draw a deep breath, and the congregation smiles, and not so much amused by Johnny, but by the predicament the pastor had found himself in. And then it happened. Johnny, 3 years old, just simply said, "All clean." And then promptly returned to his pew. The pastor sighed, the congregation sighed, and the parents sighed, and the pastor determined that little Johnny had preached a better sermon than he could that day. I share that illustration because it perfectly illustrates what's going on here today. As we lay our dear sister in Christ to rest. In fact, I came across that theme as I met with this family this last weekend, and we were talking about her life and the remembrances of her, and I'm not quite sure she'd want us to share this illustration, but there was a time that she found both Todd and Christy in the grain cart on the farm. And she commanded them to come out, and Christy, being the obedient daughter, quickly dismounted and appeared at her feet, but Todd not so much. Until she got the fly swatter, it began chasing him around because she was so infuriated. Now, I'm not suggesting that she was an abusive mother by any means. She simply wanted to keep her children clean. And the more we talked about it, the more we realized she was really kind of a neat freak. Because the reality was, she wanted to make sure before they went anywhere that the house was perfectly spick and span. And it didn't matter how long it took or how late they were, before they left, everything would be clean. But I didn't know that she was a seamstress. That she made a lot of your own clothes. Kind of like my mom with the big bell bottoms at times, and because I was cool, right? But you can imagine as a parent, as you make all these clothes for your kids, don't get them dirty. Then the grass stains show up and the food on the blouse or whatever it is. And we kind of get to the point, it's like, can't you kids just keep them clean? But any parent will tell you that the most difficult stain to get out is blood. It's tough to get out. But ultimately, the most difficult stain of all is the stain of sin. Judy knew the depth of her sin. She knew that it was a stain that she would never be able to get out. In fact, the last time I met with her was at their house, and I communed her and Daryl, and a part of my communion liturgy is the fact I asked that question, do you humbly acknowledge and heartily lament your sin? In other words, you confess that you're a sinner, and the flip side of it is, are you repentant? Are you sorry for what you have done? And her words weren't argumentative, they were simply yes. But it didn't surprise me, because ever since transferring here from Bethlehem, I'm quite sure they use the same liturgy up there, or words of the same effect as Lutherans, when we confess, Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess you all my sins and iniquities. We Lutherans confess the same sin, don't we? We realize that we are stained, we are broken. And it's a stain we can't simply get out on our own. And so Judy knew the reality of the fact that no matter how hard she licked cancer the first time, that ultimately death would sow and stream would sweep her away. She knew that Friday would come, her eyelids would close in death, and she would leave this life. Because she knew the depth of her sin. Now, like most of you, I've gone to many funeral services, and I've heard all kinds of sermons. I've heard sermons about how great the person is and how wonderful a life they've lived, or the awesome stuff they have done, and pointing to the great example they are. Even one pastor shared of another pastor who said that because the guy signed the back wall of the church, we can be sure that he's in heaven today. But you see, there's only one problem with that. When do you know when you've done enough to remove the stain of your sin? When do you know when you've accomplished or achieved enough in order to merit God's eternal mercy and grace? And I can actually say that I'm forgiven. I was kind of struck by Lori's story when she talked about when sweatshirts became popular. Remember that? Sweatshirts became popular, but there's only one problem. Lori wanted one, and Judy didn't want her to have it. You know why? Because sweatshirts are for boys. Girls don't wear them. But you see, as time passed, Lori gave her mother a sweatshirt that she wore so much she wore it threadbare. She literally wore it out. You know, I share that story because our Heavenly Father gave Judy a garment to wear as well. It's symbolic of the pall that covers her coffin today. As that sweatshirt once showed your love for your mom, that robe of righteousness which Christ placed upon Judy in her baptism demonstrates the Father's love for her. It's a constant visible reminder that she is a baptized child of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, that God literally took the stain of her sin away, ironically, through blood. The blood of Jesus. I was looking at the dates the baptismal water was poured over infant Judy on June the 18th, 1944. And on that day, as the pastor poured the water and the words were spoken, as if God himself stood up and said, all clean. sins are forgiven. She is my child, a part of my kingdom. But as Lutherans, I find great joy as we're baptized as infants, we're given that opportunity as a teenager to stand in front of the congregation with trembling knees and sweaty palms as we make a confession of faith before the body of believers. And for Judy, that happened at Bethlehem. She stood before that congregation and confessed that she believed not only that Jesus Christ died for her sins, but she also, through that confession, acknowledged the fact that although one day she would die, that her Heavenly Father would prepare a place for her. You know, as I pulled out the story of Christ healing the leper, the words that really spoke to me were, the leper simply asked, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Today, each of us come here with the stain of our own sin. The things we've done and the things that we shouldn't have done and the things that we didn't do that we should have done, and commission, omission, you'll get there. But the reality is, we look in the mirror of God's law, we realize that we are above all things sinful human beings. In our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. And the fact of the matter is you can preach all the sermons you want. No pastor will ever preach you into heaven. But you see, the great joy is that Jesus stretched out His hand and He touched that leper that day. And He says, I will. And simply the words, be clean. This morning I was sharing with the family that I've never ever seen someone in the state of death look as good as Judy does. I've never seen it. I've done this for a long time. She cleans up pretty good. But the reality is, her eternal cleaning has already taken place. Her heavenly home is prepared. She doesn't need me to preach her into heaven because of her faith in Christ. Something I like to do is kind of share, as you kind of search through her things now that her life has ended and kind of pass things around. I want you to imagine coming across the note from her. I think that note would say something like, all those garage sales I went to and all the purdies that I collected, distribute them properly. But I want you to realize the greatest purdies I have is my family. My son and my daughters, their spouses and my grandkids, I love them immensely. She'd tell Todd, keep farming. It's been in the family a long time. And you're doing just fine. The grandkids, they got tea parties in heaven. I can't wait till you get here. But for all of us, don't be afraid. Christ has made you clean. You are clean indeed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.